It's funny because I was thinking on the way down here how we have, I have many years in my year, and I'll explain that. We have our year that starts from January 1st to December 31st. You have your birthday that starts from the day you're born until the day before you're burned, and that's another year. I have what I call my spiritual year, and it happened to me before I even came to the church and started our classes with Millie, which start in October and go till May. Probably about 4 or 5 months before, well, in October before we started church, coming to the church in January, I had gone to see a psychic, and she'd given me some information, and some I thought sounded good, some I didn't, some I just played around with and wasn't sure. But that was in October. And I realized that my spiritual class year is from October until around May or June, and then in those couple of months is where everything kind of soaks in, and about halfway through it comes July. It's like all these lights start going on, and these uh-huhs, and these wow, and it's really kind of cool. So my each year in my spiritual classroom, I usually learn a lesson. And it's this thread that goes through each class and through different talks at forum and church and through my life, and I start seeing these things, and then it really becomes clear to me, you know, when it usually takes me a while. You don't realize it till it happened about 6 months into it, and I go, oh, wow, you know what, this has been really consistent. This must be my lesson for the year. Well, last year I took a year off at class while I was going through school and other things, and this year, I've had so many lessons that no way could I get it in a 20-minute talk just today. It's just amazing, and just in the last couple of weeks, a lot of these things have become really clear to me. This year was a common thread that Millie talked about, not judging people until if you don't really know them. You know, she says, we can't know why somebody's this way because we don't know what happened to them when they were younger or what the steps in their life that led them to that. So it's really not for us to say, well, they're like this because we don't know why they're like that, or, oh, she's crazy because she's afraid of spiders. Maybe you don't know why that person is afraid of spiders. There might be a legitimate reason where everybody else, a spider is a spider, you just flick it off and on you go, whereas this somebody might get very scared. So that has been my common thread, kind of this judgment and not judging people or making an idea of why they're this way or that way. So it's funny because I'm one of these people that when I make a statement, I get a chance to prove it right away. Usually if I say, you know, I'm not judgmental, I don't judge people, and I said this probably about 12 years ago. I remember having a conversation, I remember it very vividly. We were talking about, you know, people in that and judging, and I said, you know, I don't judge people. I don't want people to judge me. I don't care if they like me, they don't like me, whatever. I just figure everybody's different and that's how they should be. I'm not a judgmental person. Well, I'll tell you what, I got my chance to prove that. I was driving in my car, and I don't know how I proved it, but I know that I had these judgments that had gone on and these thoughts, and I'm driving in my car, and the stark realization came to me that, oh my gosh, I am a very judgmental person. I mean, I really can just tell you, well, this person's like this or that person's, and I thought, wow, you know, that stark realization that you're something that you really don't want to be. But that's not what my talk is on. It's not on judging people. And one thing that I realized with that too is I used to think that when I would make a statement and then I would have a chance to prove it, that I was proving it to God. But I realized that it was God giving me the chance to prove it to me so that I could really see, am I really like that or am I not? So I had this chance to see that I am judgmental, that I do judge people. And I don't know that I judge them in a negative way, but I have these ideas and, you know, well, this person's that way and everybody should be, you know, they should be more like this. But something I also realized is, you know what, I wouldn't want everybody to be the same way I am. I wouldn't want everybody to think the way I am and be the way I am, because it'd be really boring if we were all the same. And so we all come from different backgrounds, and as a parent, I realize that we're not, when we have our kids, we aren't given this manual that everybody's given, that this is how you raise your kids. You know, we just, it's kind of like you're given this child and then you start instilling in them your beliefs, your ideas, and what you think is right for them. Some people think that table manners are the most important thing that you need to teach your kids. They need to know what each of those forks means, what each of these spoons mean, which side the glass goes on, which one is a water glass, which is a wine glass, which is a brandy glass. Some people think that that's very important. Some people think, you know, education. We all, our parents each had different ideas, and some parents just are clueless, and they just figure, you know, like me, if you can get them potty trained and teach them that it's very important to wear clothes when you go outside, you've done a good job, you know? I had two that didn't like wearing clothes, and it's like, you know, this is a necessity thing in life. We must have these on. So we all have these beliefs from the time we're born, and whose beliefs do we have? We have what our parents had, and they have what their parents had. And then at some point in our life, you know, we have our aunts and uncles and our grandparents, and then sometimes friends come in, and so we've got these different, but what's instilled in us is what our parents know at the time. And we all know where we are now. We all know where we were 10 years ago. We know where we were 20 years ago. I'm a totally different parent today than I was 22 years ago when I had my first son. I mean, it's like different of night and day, two totally different people. And you know what? He's grown with me because he's had no choice. And so he could say, well, my mom used to be this way. And it's like, yeah, you know, I used to be that way, but you know what? I've changed. I'm not that way anymore. So we can't, and that makes me realize too, we can't blame our parents for the way we are, because you know what? They were doing the best they could with what they knew. But what I want to talk about is when we get older, how we are. You know, it's when we're young, we have habits and we have ways that we are that kind of define us when we get older. And some of those, I don't know, they seem to be more magnified. If you have a strong zest for life, you know, you're going to have that when you're older. I lost my grandma in March, and I think the hardest thing was that I would never get the chance to talk to her because I haven't seen her for a few years, and there were just some questions over the last couple of years that being in class and having relatives and that, I just wanted to sit down and just have some good talk about family trees and this and that, and, you know, and I thought, you know, I'm not going to get that chance to do that. And then Michael lost his stepfather in May. And when we had his memorial, I was thinking, you know, I really didn't want to go because I had to take a day off of work, and it was going to be with the side of the family that I really didn't know. And I thought, you know, my excuse could be we're busy at work and I really can't take the day off, you know. And I was thinking this. Well, I didn't know, but I didn't tell him this. But at home, he was saying, okay, Claude, if you want her to go, I'm going to throw a couple darts. Give me a bullseye. And he didn't get one bullseye, but he got two. So he's like, so I think Claude really wants you to go. And I thought, well, you know, I had decided I would go to support you. The funny thing is that it gave me a perspective of why he was the way he was as he got older. Over the last few years, now I've only known him for 16 years, and he was 86 when he passed away. So I've known him in his later years. And over the last probably 5 to 10 years, he's gotten a little bit difficult to deal with. He's kind of headstrong and, you know, a little bit irritable at times, and he gets focused on something, and that's all he thinks about. And, you know, sometimes you just got to go, hey, you know, calm down, chill out. And, you know, sometimes you forget, and I didn't know him as a kid, so I didn't know what he was like when he was younger. The wonderful thing about the memorial is I heard about him from the time he was 5 until he was little, and he had this strong drive for life that if he wanted something, he did what it took to do it. He got it. He made it. He wanted, if he wanted to do this, he did it, and he was physically strong, and he was able to go out and do that. And so now here he is in his 80s. His mind still is thinking, I want to do this. He loves music, so there you go. He wanted to do something, he, you know, in his mind, he could still do it, but his body wasn't letting him do it, so that causes the frustration. So it's kind of like at the memorial, I had this whole eye-opening thing that, you know, as we get older, and you understand this very well, but see, your mind still wants to do all these things. It's fine. Your body just is dragging a little bit behind, and it can
no,
be frustrating. And that's good. You're going to be walking up here next time, huh?
I got on my exercise cycle for the last 2 days, and I haven't done that in ages.
That's good. That's better than I do. So it just helps me see that. And I lost my train of thought. Well, it made me very happy that I went to the memorial and I learned about him, because I was able to then not think, gosh, you know, everybody as they get older, they just get to be kind of grouchy and irritable. You know, it's nice to see, to hear how people were when they were younger, and to appreciate that, and to know that what I make of myself now in my young days and as I get older will be more magnified as I'm older. And so what I'm putting into my mind and what I'm deciding to be now will define me in 20 or 30 years, when maybe my body isn't going to be able to do what I want it to do, and I might be starting to get more irritable, and I might be, and it just made me realize too that, you know, I really can't judge people for the way they are until I've had a chance to really see where they've walked and what they've done. And you know, we say we don't judge people, but we make comments and we say this and we do this, and, you know, we make comments about the leaders in our country, and, you know, we just know a little bit of the story. I mean, I wouldn't want the job of any kind of political leader anywhere, because it just seems like that would be more than I could handle. But, you know, that's energy that goes out there, and we are the only beings that have the power of speech, the power of being able to put something out there with our mouth, which is a power and it is an energy. And, you know, if you're putting out negative, that negative is going somewhere. And what I have found for me is it usually kind of boomerangs and comes right back to me. I put it out there and it comes back and smacks me, and usually pretty fast, with those eye-opening things that, okay, you know, if I get mad at somebody for cutting me off in traffic, you know, I'm going to cut somebody off in traffic, and it's going to be like, oh, you know what? And then somebody's going to be getting mad at me, and I'll go, oh, I just did that because I got mad at the person for cutting me off. You know, it happens. These things come back to me so fast. So what I'm trying to do is become more understanding and more accepting of people. And that also has to do with myself, because we think, well, I read this book called The Four Agreements, and one of the first agreements is be impeccable with your word. And being impeccable with your word is, you know, basically being nice and saying nice things and positive things. And one of the things that it says, and I was talking to somebody, and they were saying, oh, I can do that. And I said, yes, you can, toward other people. But can you be that way toward yourself? How many of us judge ourselves more than we judge anybody else? You know, we are the only people that continue laying that sentence on us, you know. Oh, I was so stupid, I did that. Oh, how could I have done that? How could I have forgotten that? You know, oh, you did something 20 years ago, and you think, oh, I remember when I did this, and oh, I can't believe I was so stupid that I did that. 20 years later, you're still beating yourself up for it. You know, even criminals, they get a life sentence, they get that sentence one time, and they have to live with it, but they don't have somebody that keeps saying life sentence every day, where we do that with ourselves. So it's not just being judging toward other people, being judging toward ourselves and knowing what we need to change. And I think for me, just being more aware of why people are the way they are, and being accepting of that, you know. I used to think if somebody was like, oh, I'm terrified of snakes, it's like, why are you scared of snakes? What, you know, what's the big deal? Well, you know what, be accepting of that. They're afraid of them. You know, don't try and take them into a room full of snakes and say, hey, look, there's nothing wrong with them. Just understand that and be willing to accept that and not judge them for that. I used to think that wasn't a big deal. If, you know, I thought, they're crazy for being afraid of something. Well, you know what? We all have our fears. We all have those, and we don't know what happened to them as a little kid that caused that. A little kid, a young adult, whatever, somewhere in their life, there are these things that happen to us that cause us to be the way we are now. And that makes us who we are. That makes us each all special and wonderful. And the one of the things that I really wanted to know this year was, how do I change these habits? How do I change these thoughts? I mean, every year it's the same thing. I get these lessons. I get these thoughts. I'm going to change. And I go, I don't know where to begin. You know, all these books will tell you, you got this problem, you need to change it. You got this habit, you need to change it. But do they ever tell you exactly how to do it? I've not read one that has told me step by step how to do it. So I decided, you know what, God, I really need to know how to change these things. How do I change being judgmental? How do I change being negative? How do I change this? These are thoughts, and this is how I've been for a lot of years, and so it doesn't happen overnight, but how do I begin? And it was the simplest thing for me, and it was being aware. Be aware of how you are. Be aware on a daily basis. And I was like, oh, man, it can't be that simple. There's got to be more to it. And you know what? I don't know if there's more to it. But right now, it's working for me, just being aware of those habits that I want to change. Because when I get older, I want to be pleasant. I don't want to be, and I tend, people see me, I'm light, I'm fun, you know, and that, but I tend to be kind of a stick in the mud at times, you know. Michael likes to joke and have fun in that, and sometimes it's like, not the proper time to be joking. We must be serious now, you know, and Today I was writing in my journal, and I was thinking, you know, there are just times that he just drives me crazy because he's just being funny and everything, and it's like, I just wish he would change. And immediately as I'm writing, I thought, or maybe it's me that needs to change my perspective and enjoy that lightness of him and not always be serious, you know? Okay, yeah, there's a time to be serious, but I find that I've become more and more serious. As I've gotten older, I've become more and more serious more often. And so, I don't want to be that way. When I'm 80 years old, I want to be one of those funny ladies. I want to be funny and light and happy and not prim and proper and serious all the time. You know? So, for me, what I'm learning is I just have to be aware of it right now. And if it changes, if there's another lesson in there that I have to do, I'll let you know. Because to me, that seems really simple, but it's working. And the more I get into my spirituality and reading and everything, everything is really simple. It doesn't have to be hard. Somebody told me once, you know, you've been through a lot of pain in your life and you've got a lot of agony and you want to change. It's going to be a lot of hard work. It's going to be a lot of agony and a lot of pain to get to be happy and wholesome again. And I thought, oh, why? Why does it have to be so hard? Why do we think it has to be hard? And for me, I just realized, you know what, it doesn't have to be hard. It can be as simple as being aware every day of what you want to be and waking up every morning and saying, God, help me to be impeccable with my word. Help me to be positive today. Help me to see the good in people. Help me to touch somebody today in a way that they need to be touched. Bring somebody to me that needs something for me to say. And sometimes I think, oh, I wonder what it's going to be. And sometimes it's just as simple as calling me up and saying, you know what, I'm desperate. Do you have an appointment? And it's like, okay, I can give you that appointment because I can do whatever it takes to make it work. Sometimes that's all somebody needs. Sometimes somebody just needs to come in and say something and get it off their chest and have somebody go, okay. And that's all they want. They don't want to hear, let me fix it. They don't want to hear that. They just need a simple, okay, you're safe to talk. You know, so you feel better. And so each morning, that's what I'm asking for. Help me be aware of what's going through my head, because what's going through my head is going to affect me somewhere down the line. And especially help what comes out of my mouth and help it be positive, because if it's negative, it's going to come back and get me. So that's what's doing it for me now, and it's working. So I, you know, try, ask the prayer and become aware. Awareness. You know, Millie talks about awareness. And I always thought I was pretty aware. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm really aware of things now, but I've been asking for it. And I have found that asking is one of the best tools that you have in your toolbox is prayer and asking. And you know what? God gives it to you. And it's just, it's really cool when you ask for more awareness. And I mean, not just to become in tune to give somebody messages, but awareness in every area of your life, how the lessons come in and these eye-popping things go, oh, wow, that's so clear to me. It's so, I can understand it now. And so in my toolbox this year, I'm working on trying to make myself a happier, lighter person and less judging and just being aware of who I'm going to be in 30 or 40 or 50 years and being more understanding. And, you know, now I can look back at my stepfather-in-law and say, hey, I understand why you were the way you were. And you know what? That's okay. We still love you. And, you know, you were a great man. You did a lot. You accomplished a lot in your life. And he was one man that till the day he died, I mean, the day before he died, he still had a dream that he was going to get out of the hospital and go do. He still had plans. And he was working on it. Every Sunday he had somebody drive him to church and he'd take his guitar and get there and sing up on stage with everybody. That's, you know, he loved his music and it was harder and harder for him, but that's what he did because that was his ministry. And you know what? He had an idea, he had a desire and a thought and a love, and he went and he did it. And I thought, you know what? I want to be that way. I want to have that zest for life, that lightness, that And I think for me it begins with awareness, and so I'm just each day asking more and more for awareness. So I ask you too to ask for that and see how it changes your life. Thanks.